This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Neil Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey,
you're you thinking know employers, and you want to hire people cheaply, yeah. So stop lecturing me about Rosa Parks, right?
You know, first of all, I don't go out. I have never used an H-1B visa to go and bring somebody in any one of my 150-plus companies. So I just want to get that on the table.
Right.
As far as Microsoft and Facebook and some others, I don't think they're using outsourced labor, which, again, is what is driving down the pricing, is what's causing jobs, and where you're seeing the examples of people having to train their replacements. I think for the most part, they pay premiums. In the studies I've seen, Facebook and Google in particular, when they hire, they pay a premium. They're not coming in to cut down the price of labor.
Listen to what he said, Scott. He said, I don't think. You know, it's like, wait a minute. All right. Clearly, there's been an abuse of H-1B visas. There's no doubt about it. The evidence is so empirical. Whether there are exceptions, maybe in his company, 150 companies, I think that's pretty brilliant if you know everything that's going on there, right? And that you can make that statement. He might be surprised if somebody said, well, not exactly. But,
to be fair, I mean, the companies that he named are known to be very... People aren't cheap when they go there. Microsoft has been known for years to buy out the best talent they can get. Mm-hmm. Same with Google. Google's been very, you know, Google has been known to go out and find the best people they can get. And when you're the best, that means lots of people are bidding on your abilities.
Sure.
Where the problem comes in is that when you get past that, I think he's probably 100% right. Your top tier companies are probably hiring the biggest and the best, but that next tier, what are they getting?
But the point is there an abuse of the H-1B visa? I mean, you know, okay, so the shoe doesn't fit. You don't have to pick it up and, you know, go into some sort of false argument to dilute the problem. I mean, do we have an H-1B visa abuse program problem here in this country? And the evidence is that we do. Maybe Mark Cuban is pure as the driven snow, and Google for all the, you know, and as you say, for all the right reasons. Here they are. They're the big guns. They can choose. There's no need for them to put themselves in those kind of positions. And God bless them. But for the next tier of people, as you say, on down, are there abuses? Well, yeah, there has to be, or, you know, we wouldn't be talking about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, one, where is the abuse? I mean, I don't have any problem if anybody wants to bring in the brightest and the best and the brightest from around the world. We've done that for many years, and I have no problem with that. It's when we start letting those H-1B1s go down to people that aren't the best and the brightest, and I have an issue with that.
Well, clearly, what had happened, and the trend was, is there, you know, there were violations of the intent of what the H-1B visa program was all about. And that's all part of this stuff. You know, you wake up one day and you go, wow, we're really off the mark here. How did we abandon the rule of law? How did we abandon the principles here that were well established? Immigration, you know, the problem with immigration is just everybody said, well, you know, let's not even follow the law anymore. Now everybody's shocked that we've got Jeff Sessions and we've got a president saying, okay, we're back to the rule of law, and look what's happening with the immigration issue. This stuff will be settled. And once we get through this initial phase, then we can look at true solutions in handling this stuff. But meanwhile, everybody is threatening, oh, we're going to deport 11 million. Nobody said we're going to deport 11 million people, so get off of that. You know, but we do have a problem here, so we got to clean up this mess that has been, you know, perpetuated for several decades here. So it's not going to, like everything else we've been talking about, just that we finished up with Andrea Kaye, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to be a process. But at least now we're starting to identify we got a problem here in River City. We're dealing with the truth. And what a novel concept. You know, you deal with the truth and you start coming up with solutions, and you got people that are, you know, whose job it is to enforce these things, and especially people who are serious about it, you know, they feel, oh my goodness, you know, I'm back on the winning team. You know, we can now feel proud about the work we do because the rule of law is back in place and it's win-win for everybody, as Jeff Sessions said. We've got more. The conversation continues right here on Bill Martinez Live.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
You know, you think about all the money we've wasted, the resources, because we're on the wrong track. Last year it was 7 out of 10, now 6 out of 10. I guess we're starting to get it, but we have to continue to send reinforcements to like-minded people in our government that want to, you know, get this country and get this country back on track, and they're sincere about it. And we're going to be talking about, speaking of the main enemy, the inside story of the CIA's final showdown with the KGB. And with us right now is Milton Bearden. He's a retired Central Intelligence Agency officer, author, and film consultant. During his 30-year career with the CIA, which began in 1964, after serving in the U.S. Air Force, Bearden was a CIA station chief in Pakistan, Nigeria, Sudan, and Germany, and Pakistan from 1986 to 1989. He became a CIA field officer in Afghanistan, played a role in funding and training the Mujahideen to fight occupying Soviet forces. Milton Bearden, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. Good to have you with us, sir.
Great to be with you, Bill.
Hey, let's talk about your book, The Main Enemy, The Inside Story of the CIA's Final Showdown with the KGB. What do we need to understand about this final showdown?
Well, you need to, I think what we need to understand is that the final showdown was the end of, you know, almost a half century of a battle with a very sophisticated and sometimes very cruel and rough enemy. Cost America $13 trillion is the number they put on it. Mm-hmm. And the number of dead, around 80,000, 90,000, if you count Korea and Vietnam, right, as all part of this thing. And then the Soviet Union, it started slowly, and then all at once, more or less collapsed. And you take their exit from Afghanistan, which was their 10-year war, which was a terrible disaster for them. Mm-hmm. They left Afghanistan in February 1989. All during the next summers, the near abroad countries, the Warsaw Pact countries, collapsed one after another. And then finally, on the day after Christmas in 1991, a little detachment of Soviet soldiers marched out on the Kremlin Wall, hauled down the hammer and sickle, and hoisted the Russian tricolor, and the Cold War was over. It was
exactly
done, and that was it.
Hmm. Well, let's go back into the early stages, even World War II, the close of World War II. General Patton saw a lot of burgeoning problems with Russia at that time and got himself in trouble, because he spoke rather frankly about the Russians, didn't he?
Well, he not only spoke frankly, but he, you know, deep down he saw this thing coming. And mm-hmm. and sort of thought, well, why don't we keep rolling eastward? And, you know, quite honestly, America wasn't going to do that, to say, well, let's go ahead and push this thing on the Russians. There was debate even at the time of the end of that war that why didn't Eisenhower go take Berlin? Well, Marshal Zhukov lost more soldiers taking Berlin than we lost in the European theater. He was kind of smart to do that, but it was absolutely clear that the Russians were going to be a problem after that war. But the wisdom of, let's say, let Russians wear out machine gun barrels with their kids' chests instead of American kids' chests, that was probably not a bad decision, don't you think?
I would think so, but also when you consider what how many people Stalin himself had killed. You know, we talk about Hitler, but we don't say much about, what Russia had done.
Well, I think some of the figures, they're hard to nail down, but I go with 23 million during that whole purge time and the starvation and all of this stuff going on. Yeah, I mean, it's unimaginable for most Americans. I mean, some people try to have moral equivalency about the United States and Russia, and I've given some lectures at kids in colleges over the years, and I say, okay, tell me what about extrajudicial killings by the United States government during the same period of the Soviet Union going through its purges, where 23 million people died with extrajudicially. And they would come up with something like, well, two, Sacco and Vanzetti. I said, no, those were trials. So there is no equivalency there. This, you got to understand, it's different. Mm-hmm. You know, the Russians aren't just like us, except we've got better creases in our pants now.
Right. Well, and certainly here we are. Let's go back to what Bill Clinton tried to do. His wife, certainly as Secretary of State, Barack Obama, in trying to make friends. Barack Obama said early on, hey, I would meet with any leader of any country without preconditions. And, of course, we know what happened directly in regard to the relationship between the United States and Vladimir Putin.
Well, you know, I'm not going to go all tribal on that. I would say there's a lot of reasons for failure in dealing with the Soviet Union ever since 1945, or let's say 1947, when Churchill made his Fulton, Missouri speech about the Iron Curtain. I think it's still a good thing to keep, not to use the word reset in the mix, but to keep contact in the mix, just to keep. Yeah, I mean, I don't see ever a reason to shut the door and say, I'm not going to talk to you until you do A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. What kind of a negotiating point is that where you say, here's my final demand, you have to do this before we even talk? Well, it never goes anywhere. Right. But, you know, there are contacts that you can have with the Russians. You know, when I was in CIA, we could have had a very tough relationship with country X at any given time, but the intelligence contacts were pretty good. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we go through that angle. So we've had a big series of failures in foreign policy over the last 10 years. There's no question.
And I'm not a proponent of the tribal conversation here, Milton. I'm just saying, because I'm like you, I feel you're better off having the conversation. I mean, look what happened on the heels of, Syria and Russia and, and their stance to support Syria and this sort of thing. I mean, we send the Secretary of State to Russia to have a conversation. And it was one that was needed. And I think, keeps that, it keeps people a little bit away from that button, doesn't it? If you're talking.
Well, of course it does. And you know what? I don't think they want to push that button either. I mean, if you step back and look at Vladimir Vladimirovich's Russia, he's got a population that's got a life expectancy that goes down year after year. It's about half the size it was in the heyday. All he can do is sell gas and oil. Nobody buys anything else. His biggest fear is for democracy to take root in his country. Because then he's gone. He's got a millennial generation that's bubbling around that concept. But he has some cards to play on us, and this is sort of the thing about the main enemy. Never underestimate the ability of Russian intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to talk about those cards when we come back. We're going to break right now.
Yeah,
Milton Bearden was with us, former CIA, and gives us some insight on the CIA's final showdown with the KGB. I'm Bill Martinez. We're live.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over three decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth. This is Bill Martinez live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, on this incredibly independent network of 280-plus affiliates around the world via shortwave as well. Just about 19 minutes after the top of the hour, our conversation with Milton Bearden continues. Milton, his background again is a retired Central Intelligence Agency officer, author, and film consultant during his 30-year career with the CIA, which began in 64. That's 1964, okay? After serving in the U.S. Air Force, Bearden was the CIA station chief in Pakistan, Nigeria, Sudan, and Germany. I know some of these young kids here in 1964, and they think it's, oh my goodness, it's so ancient. But we're still young men, aren't we, Milton?
Well, you bet we are. You better be believing that, or I don't know what your next step is going to be. But every day that keeps coming is a good day. Goodness gracious, right?
Exactly. Here it is for all the nuggets, the golden nuggets that life has given you an opportunity to learn. And you have probably have forgotten more than many of us will learn. With your background, but we were talking about Russia and Putin, and you mentioned cards, lest America get arrogant here. Let's not forget Putin as his own leader. And I think maybe this is what Donald Trump was referring to, because leaders respect leaders. They may not, particularly like what they do, but they know the responsibility of leadership. And leaders know about power. And Putin has some cards that he can play against the USA today, lest we think we're so arrogant that we're above it all ourselves, right?
Well, there's almost nobody in the world out there that wants to go against us, airplane for airplane, ship for ship, or even battalion for battalion. But this is a new world. Look at the cyber stuff that we can do. But assume that these guys can play three-dimensional chess. And in the book I wrote, The Main Enemy, we were engaged in such mind-bending stuff against each other that I'll never assume that these guys are capable of anything other than brilliance. Okay, so let's take a hypothetical if you want to. Now I'll come down on the side that the Russians are fooling around with elections in NATO and European Union countries, and they did so here rather than get into an argument about he said or she said.
Right.
But so they are. Now, the question is, people are, let's say, part of the tribal question in this country is that, hey, Donald Trump is Putin's guy. So he got him elected, and so he's going to do something for the Russians, whatever, because they've got something on him. That's one of the positions taken here. Here's what the Russians can do now. They are able to change on target. They're looking at the American situation, and those very, very clever minds around Putin are saying, Vladimir Vladimirovich, think about this. Instead of saying, hope that this guy admires you because you admire him and all that, and maybe he'll be helpful, how about we tear the whole thing down a little bit? Let's really jolt the American democratic system. And how do we do that, Ivan Denisovich? Vladimir says. He says, why don't we start dropping dimes out there? Put out some documentation. Let's get a statement out from our friend who bought the $90 million property in Florida, saying that this was simply a way to get $50 million Trump at an important moment in his financial distress. Let's start dumping bank documents in Panama, Cyprus, and places totally untraceable back to them that would look like the smoking gun that everybody's hunting for right now. This could be all fake stuff.
Yes.
Never mind. Okay? Mm-hmm. They have this capability to do it. And so my question would be then, what do we have here happen in this country? Does it prompt some very serious moves against the administration, maybe emanating in the House of Representatives and moving into the Senate, impeachment or whatever? It would turn our democracy upside down, wouldn't it?
Right, exactly.
They have that card.
And even right now, Milton, I mean, they've slowed down this government. I mean, you've got somebody who operates on 3-4 hours of sleep a day. He's trying to get this country back on track and doing everything he can in the first 100 days. And meanwhile, you've got the media and everybody, as you say, searching for this smoking gun that is going to be the aha moment for everybody that say, in fact, that Putin is so good that he was able to turn the tide of the elections and have Donald Trump elected.
Well, look, Here's another reality. Anybody that's visited over the years the Soviet Union and then today's Russia, there's a file. Even when I was chief of the Soviet East European Division, you know, and we'll go over on official visits to talk to the KGB, I may go out for a run or something and come back and throw a sweaty T-shirt in the laundry bag. The T-shirt would disappear. And it would go, here's where that would go. That would go in, the KGB would steal my sweaty T-shirt. Mm-hmm. It would go into their archives and be put into one of these French cooking jars, you know, with they have that metal seal and the rubber seal on it that snaps down. Yeah. And it's sealed in there, hermetically sealed in this cooking jar with my scent.
Yeah.
So if they ever need to put the dogs on something to see if I was ever around it, and that's insanity. They did that to everybody. Yeah. They got a sweaty T-shirt on our president, I guarantee you. But whatever else they got, hell, I don't know.
Yeah,
but,
well, this is what we call the Putin boogeyman. He's being blamed for everything. I mean, it wasn't that long ago we were blaming everything on the sequester. Now everything's blamed on Russia and Putin, right?
Well, you got to have a flavor of the day in America. I mean, we can't, everybody's got ADHD here. Come on.
You think? Every shiny object or like a bunch of Dalmatians.
Every shiny object.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what kind of scares me in the contest with the Russians, because they got some, I must say, in 30 years in the CIA, I didn't see them as sort of rough, thuggish, knuckle-dragging bunglers. There's some very brilliant guys that I was up against that I got to know when I was writing The Main Enemy. I went back to Russia and visited with these guys, and we would go over things that happened when we were against each other, and it's just fascinating. And I even wrote the obituary of one of the guys that killed himself a year ago.
Oh, wow.
When he went blind, but a brilliant mind.
Milton, you know, with some of this dynamic that takes place here, and gosh, I remember back in the days growing up when we talked about how we would misnegotiate with the Russians. The Russians have an ability to go to an area that is beyond the comprehension of Americans and our culture and our sense of civility. Did you sense that in any kind of negotiation or in any kind of operation with Russia? You know, some people might say, well, they don't play fairly. Well, this isn't about playing fairly. It's about winning, right?
Well, it's all of, you know, Americans, we're a charming lot, but, you know, we want everything so pat. We want to sit down at the table and already lay out our final position. The Russians have got so many, they got so many things going on inside them. I mean, we lost, under 500,000 people in World War II, a great conflagration. They lost 20, maybe 13 million. And it's nuts. So everything drives them in a different direction. And I don't think we've ever done, we've ever quite figured that out since 1945, since our troops met them on the Elbe River in Germany.
Well, you know, it's kind of silly when you think about it. I mean, when this country started, we didn't, we did a little bit, initially when we were fighting the number one warring force on the planet. We found out in quick order that we didn't match up meeting them out in an open field and just going head to head. That we were more effective if we, if we defined the field of battle ourselves instead of letting them, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, the one man's freedom fighter is another man's terrorist. I mean, we're in a search for moderates that we can help out in the in Syria. Let me ask you, Bill. When was the last time moderates won anything? I guess maybe we like to think that we were moderates when we fought King George, but we weren't.
Yeah, no, I know that's a rhetorical question, and we'll leave it there because we know it's obvious. Milton Bearden on Bill Martinez Live, The Main Enemy, the inside story of the CIA's final showdown with the KGB.
It's here, the biggest flooring event of the year. Lumber Liquidators 14th Annual April Sale. With 5 days of once-in-a-lifetime prices on top-quality North American and European laminate from 49 cents. Pre-finished hardwood from just $1.19. Bamboo from $1.39. Get wood-look waterproof floors from 59 cents. Limited-time deals on small lots from 29 cents and more. Plus special financing. Don't miss it. New deals added daily. Get to the April Sale at Lumber Liquidators today.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-617-9312, 800-617-9312, 800-617-9312.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Neely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-6936. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-6936. Call 1-800-958-6936. 1-800-958-6936.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Does matter. Bill Martinez live, without a doubt.
Well, you got to confront the situation, okay? Shrugging your shoulders and getting involved in amusement at a time when we need you, when all hands are required to be on deck to get this country back on track. 28 minutes before the top of the hour, I'm Bill Martinez. Rachel Reed is with us right now. She's a veteran of the United States Air Force, graduated from Arkansas State University, an avid dog lover, and that should tell you right there, we're going to talk about dogs. Her writing is centered around amazing stories of character that surround us all through research on canine chorea. Rachel discovered the stories behind those incredible people and animals and has become a champion for war dogs. Rachel Reed, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Hey, great to have you here. Canine Chorea, your new book, The Untold Story of America's War Dogs in the Korean War. I say it's obvious that you are an avid dog lover. And you're talking to one as well, so we have that in common. In fact, my son's dog is lying next to me. Whenever I do the show, he loves to be around. So,
Perfect.
I appreciate that. So it's only fitting that we be talking about canines, but particularly canine chorea. Why canine chorea?
Well, it was a story that just sort of fell into my lap. I did have an obvious love for dogs, an interest in military working dogs in particular. But I had been doing some research on the topic, and as I did, I couldn't find a lot about the role that dogs played in the Korean War. Mm-hmm. And I happened upon a story, just a small blurb in a Colorado newspaper about the men in this unit that I write about, and I reached out to them. They asked me to come to their annual reunion. I sat down, listened to their stories, and I was blown away. And the world's never heard these stories before, so I knew that I had to write them.
Yeah, I mean, in your discovery, you find the 8125th Century Dog Detachment?
Yes.
I mean, whoever heard of the 8125th Century Dog Detachment, like you said?
Absolutely. I mean, just a little known their role, a huge role that they played in Korea. And these men had been taken initially out of infantry roles and brought into this program at Camp Carson, which was highly experimental, maybe not well thought out by the Department of the Army, but put together, and these men took on the roles with the dogs, and they did a wonderful job.
Well, when they put this together, I mean, they must have thought that dogs could play a part. And as you say, it wasn't perfectly put together, so it was kind of like on the job training. And we're gonna let this program evolve as conditions dictate, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Of course, they did have some precedents to go on. They, mm-hmm. you know, the Department of the Army understood how invaluable dogs could be to soldiers in war, especially sentry dogs, which is what these dogs were. They had learned that the German Shepherd was incredibly useful in the type of role that they were asking it to play. Mm-hmm. And so they knew that they wanted to develop a program calling on the successes of World War II and use it in Korea. Mm-hmm. They just didn't maybe fully think about or understand how it was going to develop and what they were going to do with the dogs in the end.
But in the early process, I mean, here it is. You've got this detachment that lands in Korea. You've got man and dog. Really not sure what's going to happen, how it's going to proceed at that point. But boy, it didn't take long for the warriors to realize, hey, look, we need to depend on these dogs. I mean, they're giving us information. They're, they're critical to this war effort here right now.
Absolutely. You know, in my research, I came across a statistic where they said that the capabilities of a dog are equivalent to that of seven armed men in protecting valuable assets. And so, of course, the men understood that long before the world did. Yeah. They knew the capability of their canine partner. They relied heavily on them. And then their canine partner relied on them as well for comfort. And it was an incredible partnership that the men understood from the very beginning and came to rely on for the rest of their days.
Now, what did these warriors tell you when you went to meet with them? You said, okay, I'll go check it out. And you think you're going to go to another, you know, chicken luncheon kind of thing. And you find out, whoa, wait a minute. This is a story that has not been told, demands to be told. But what did they tell you about these dogs and the kind of things that they did there on the battlefield?
Well, I tell you, you know, they had an amazing fraternity, an amazing brotherhood amongst themselves, and it was unlike anything that I'd seen with a lot of veterans, which is a remarkable thing to say because veterans, you know, when they come together, there's often a really strong common bond, but these men were super close, and as they relayed their stories to me, and they told me about how the dogs had meant so much to them, but in the end of their time in Korea, the dogs didn't make it home. Mm. And when they would tell me these stories,
oh my gosh,
with tears in their eyes, 60 years passed, I couldn't understand. I was amazed. I was just amazed.
Why didn't they make it home? Because they died on the battlefield, or was there something within the government that said, we're not bringing the dogs home?
It was something within the government. It was a decision that appears to have been made last minute on the part of the Department of the Army. These men and dogs had protected probably millions of dollars worth of equipment. They were guarding ammunition storage facilities, and they had worked in riot control in South Korea. So they had proven themselves valuable assets. In 1954, the Department of the Army told Stars and Stripes magazine that the dogs would be returning for retirement to Camp Carson at the end of their time. But as the men made preparations to leave and they were packing their things, which they only had about 3 hours before they were to depart, they were finally told by the Army that the dogs weren't coming home. We don't understand exactly why that happened. And for the most part, we don't know what happened to the majority of the dogs, except for one whose story I tell in the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, wow. This is heartbreaking, you know, to come to that realization. And this is a story that you unfolded. And, of course, as you say, you relate in the book Canine Korea, The Untold Story of America's War Dogs in the Korean War. Wow. I mean, I'm not sure what to ask next, Rachel, or even a comment to make here, because I'm just overwhelmed by how our government, because when they recruited these dogs, they told the owners they were coming back home, right?
Yeah, well, the owners that they bought them from had been civilians, and so contractually, the Army then saw them as their property, and property is what they were as far as their classification. They called them equipment, and expensive equipment at that. The handlers believed they were coming back. They didn't know if they themselves would be able to spend the rest of their lives with these animals, but they believed that they would at least be given a safe and secure retirement back home, the honor that they deserved, and that wasn't the case. So, obviously, the men were heartbroken. I knew it was a really important story that had to be told.
Well, I'm sure glad that you told it, and congratulations on the book. It is available at all the usual places, I take it, and it'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Canine Korea, The Untold Story of America's War Dogs in the Korean War. Rachel Reed on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Rachel.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785. 800-430-8785.
It's here, the biggest flooring event of the year. Lumber Liquidators 14th Annual April Sale. With 5 days of once-in-a-lifetime prices on top-quality North American and European laminate from 49 cents. Pre-finished hardwood from just $1.19. Bamboo from $1.39. Get wood-look waterproof floors from 59 cents. Limited-time deals on small lots from 29 cents and more. Plus special financing. Don't miss it. New deals added daily. Get to the April Sale at Lumber Liquidators today.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hi there, I'm Bob Eubanks. You know, as part of Hollywood for a long time, I've seen my fair share of celebrities get in trouble with the IRS. Well, there's one name I trust, the Tax Defense Group. They're the most trusted name in tax. So if you owe more than $10,000 to the IRS, you really need to call my friends at the Tax Defense Group. Ignoring the IRS is not the solution. They can garnish your paycheck, levy your bank accounts, seize your home or business. But the Tax Defense Group could put a stop to all of that and tailor a program that would reduce your tax debt to pennies on the dollar. You gotta love that. So don't just take my word for it. Call them. Find out for yourself. They offer a 100% satisfaction guarantee. And they're open 24 hours a day because they know that tax debt doesn't sleep either.
Call now for your free and confidential tax analysis from the most trusted name in tax. Call 800-361-6907. 800-361-6907.
Lifetime Graze 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
Emails direct. NSA free to Bill at BillMartinezLive.com.
Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. Get involved in the conversation. Drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. Good, bad, indifferent. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. Well, everything you thought about the Beltway, I wish I could put it in other words, but it's true. And it could possibly be worse than you even think. Lavish parties, committee chairmanships for sale, pay-to-play corruption, backroom arm-twisting, votes on major legislation, going to the highest bidder. This is what Congressman Ken Buck is blowing the whistle on. The real-life house of cards that our nation's capital, in his oncoming book, his book that is now released, I should say, Drain the Swamp, How Washington Corruption is Worse Than You Think. Congressman Buck, thank you for being with us on Bill Martinez Live.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Congressman, as I said, you're my new hero. Anybody who's willing to come to the forefront out of the shadows, not since Tom Coburn have we had somebody with your kind of courage. You entered Congress, elected in 2014, one of the largest Republican freshman classes ever, and you were quickly met with reality. And the reality is that not only did were the people being misrepresented, but we needed help quickly.
That's absolutely right. It was an eye-opener when I got there. Even though I knew things weren't working well, it was still an eye-opener to learn the specifics.
Mm-hmm. Give our audience, so they understand, your background. So what you were bringing to D.C. in terms of your experience?
I was a prosecutor. I got out of law school. I actually went to work for Congressman Dick Cheney on the Iran-Contra investigation, and then went to the Department of Justice and was a prosecutor in D.C. and in Denver, Colorado. Became the chief of the criminal division after a few years in Denver. Left and ran for district attorney in Northern Colorado, and I was served as district attorney for 10 years before I ran and won the congressional seat.
Congressman Buck, what motivated you to, get on the playing field of national politics?
Well, I really, as I looked at the situation in this country, I don't think we have that many more years before we go off the fiscal cliff. And my number one issue is spending and debt. And I just feel very strongly that we need to get people back there that will make the hard decisions so that we can avoid the effects of this $20 trillion of debt and growing.
Hmm. Well, in your book, Drain the Swamp, How Washington Corruption is Worse Than You Think, you didn't hold anything back. There's no sacred cows here. You name names.
Absolutely. I think it's really important that the American people understand exactly what is going on in D.C. and then the solutions that I propose, because it's not going to be solved by a group of people that go back to D.C. and get very comfortable. It's going to be solved by Americans demanding solutions and working on those solutions.
Well, it's supposed to be a government of, for, by, we the people, we keep saying on this show, Congressman, and the people have subordinated their power and authority, and this is why the elites have been running amok for all these decades, and there's no question, it's kind of like finding yourself obese one day. It didn't happen overnight, it was a process, and it's going to take a process again to get us back on track, isn't it?
It is, and I would say that the federal government is morbidly obese at this point, and it's really going to take more than just diet and exercise. It's going to take some very hard work by a lot of people.
Are you encouraged to the fact that we have a businessman in the Oval Office? This is something I've been calling for a long time, is that we needed some business acumen brought into the Oval Office. Everybody looks for perfect in that, but I don't want to argue perfection, but I want to argue at least an idea of understanding some pragmatic principles that need to be applied to our government. And I see where people are starting to run a little bit scared because it's not business as usual on the Beltway.
Yeah, I think this having an outsider come into D.C. is a real benefit for Washington, D.C. And I think that Donald Trump has done a great job for conservatives with his Supreme Court pick, Neil Gorsuch. Mm-hmm. I think that Justice Gorsuch is going to be great for America. I think that we're very fortunate with the cabinet that President Trump picked. I think he's issued a number of great executive orders. Mm-hmm. Draining the swamp is a little bit different, and it's going to take more time and more perseverance on his part, and we'll just see down the road how well that gets done.
Well, as we progress, and I use that word in the traditional sense, toward draining the swamp, with each step toward that end, then more people will be encouraged. This will increase the level of courage that's necessary to do this. Because, like you say, these reindeer games that are played on the Beltway have been well established. If you're not invited to the right cocktail parties, you don't know the secret handshake, I say the Dakota ring and all that stuff that goes along with it, you can be the odd man out, and you're putting yourself at risk here by doing just that and calling out people, putting it on the line, letting the constituency, we the people, know what is happening, what's happening behind those dark doors in D.C.
Yeah, I think it's just essential to make sure people understand what's going on so they understand the necessity for working on the solutions.
Mm-hmm. Well, some people want to point to Democrats or Republicans as being the problem. I say we need to point to the man in the mirror. I mean, this is a government of and for by we the people, which means that we're responsible. What's happening? We can't blame Congress for these problems. I mean, we've kind of let them run amok without accountability, haven't we?
But yes and no. I think we can blame Congress. We should blame Congress, and we should do something about it. And we should really, I devote a chapter in the book to the crisis in character that we have. Too often in Congress, we spend a lot of time figuring out how to avoid taking the tough votes rather than how to solve the problem. And if we sent people to Congress that wanted to take the tough votes and understood the ramifications, they may not last 30 years. They may not last 10 years. But the country is going to be better off for it. I think that's really important. But you're absolutely right. It starts with each individual voter taking responsibility for who they send to represent them in Washington.
Exactly. Well, Congressman, I mean, you've been there now. What, you're going on your third year, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so you first get in there, your eyes are wide open, you're kind of shocked at what's going on. When did you hit the tipping point on this and you said, you know, I have got to write a book?
It was pretty early on. During orientation, it was amazing to me the receptions and parties and sort of the whining and dining that went on. And then I realized after I was sworn in, that there's really two paths to take in Washington, and it's made very clear to Congressman very early on. You can play the game and get along and live a very comfortable life, or you can vote your conscience, vote for America's long-term interests, and there will be consequences. And when I saw that, I realized I'm not going to play the game. I'm not going to get along here. And I'm not going to be working towards a chairmanship or a leadership position. I'm going to have to go this other route. And part of that other route for me was writing a book and making sure that people understood that if we don't act in a grassroots America, we are not going to change the system.
Did it bother you when you started realizing the amount of, let's say, plus money? That, and I don't want to say necessarily that is earned, but the money that goes to congressmen and senators to where they come in at a certain level of net worth and leave with a multiple number of net worth. Did you start to see that?
I certainly read stories about Harry Reid, and he lived on, you know, whatever it is, $190,000. I'm not sure what a senator makes, but. It's in that ballpark, and lives in a penthouse in the Ritz-Carlton in Washington D.C. It was outrageous rent when I looked for a 500 square foot a little apartment, and trying to figure out how someone can live in a penthouse. So certainly there are members of Congress who have lined their own pockets with insider trading deals and in other ways, but the other side of that coin, there are more than 100 members of the United States House who live in their offices because they have kids going to college and they're trying to save money, and Speaker John Boehner is one of those. And so there really is a number of people who refuse to go that way and are on the other side, struggling to make ends meet on the salary and maintaining a home in the district and a home in D.C.
Well, Congressman, again, we thank you for the time. Appreciate you coming on the show to talk about your book, Drain the Swamp, How Washington Corruption is Worse Than You Think. Congressman Ken Buck is with us. One final question, sir. What can readers do? The readers of your book do to help drain the swamp and join forces with you?
Well, one of the things I think is really important is to understand the problem, and I sort of do my best to outline the problem in the first 10 chapters, 11 chapters of the book. Then I talk about things that people should be talking to their congressmen about. We should not have a pay-to-play system for committee chairmanship and committee assignments, and so we should make that unethical. We should have a constitutional convention of the states to amend our constitution and have term limits and a balanced budget amendment. So there are very specific goals in the last couple of chapters and strategies for how to make this a better country and avoid the downside that we're facing.
Exactly. Well, I appreciate the book and the vision, and we wish you all the best. Congressman Ken Buck, Republican from Windsor, representing Colorado's 4th Congressional District. He was first elected to Congress November the 4th, 2014, currently serving his second term in the U.S. House of Representatives. He serves on the House Judiciary Committee and the House Committee on Rules. Thank you so much, Congressman. Appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Are you looking?